So can you comment briefly on the issue of choice of first-line and second-line therapy in ALK and ROS1?
So beginning with ALK, choosing an ALK inhibitor got a lot more complicated with the results of the recent global ALEX trial. We had a year ago the results of the Japanese ALEX trial that compared alectinib to crizotinib for patients with newly diagnosed ALK-positive lung cancer. In the Japanese ALEX trial, there was a significant improvement in progression-free survival for alectinib versus crizotinib. We all wondered whether that might have been a Japan-specific phenomenon, and we awaited the global ALEX results. We saw the global ALEX results at ASCO 2017, and the results were just as impressive. We saw more than doubling in median progression-free survival. The numbers are very impressive, and just as impressive as the overall numbers are the numbers for those patients with brain metastases from ALK-positive lung cancer. For those patients, again, a dramatic improvement in progression-free survival. I should acknowledge that there's no difference in overall survival when you compare crizotinib to alectinib, but nonetheless, the alectinib patients had much better response rate, much better progression-free survival. And you know, what's really amazing, Neil, is we've been doing this a long time to see the median progression-free survivals not being reached and approaching 2 years. It's really an amazing thing for patients with ALK-positive lung cancer when you compare them to how things were just 10 years ago for those patients.
Specifically, though, in terms of ALK, a lot of people already had sort of come on board with alectinib. You can imagine a lot more. But then the question is, what's next?
Yeah, and so I think that's really the challenge here. We've kind of blown the old paradigm around where we once had everybody gets crizotinib and then we try to figure out the sequence of second and third line ALK TKIs. Now we're going to move alectinib into the first line setting, and the knowledge about mechanisms of resistance is modest. The data that we have today suggests that a particular mutation, G1202R, is somewhat more frequent in patients with ALK. But we have to find the right drugs for these. There are some hints that lorlatinib is an effective therapy for those patients. There may be some value with brigatinib, but we don't have the clinical trial data that we were really sitting on just 6 months ago. We knew what to do in the second line. Now we have a lot less information, and I think there may be an attempt for folks to try to sequence some of these ALK inhibitors in a way that maybe doesn't make sense. So if you give alectinib and then giving seritinib and then giving brigatinib, there may not be a lot of a value in that approach because there just may not be much efficacy. And I think we need to build the data set to help guide how we treat these patients.
For practical purposes, though, in general, what is your next therapy after alectinib today?
For today, I think chemotherapy is your best approach because when I think about the response rate for, say, carboplatin pemetrexed with or without bevacizumab, the response rate's likely higher than the response rate for, say, seritinib for brigatinib. And so I would move to chemotherapy next.
What about ROS1? Of course, crizotinib is standard first line. Again, chemo second line?
I think that's the right answer. I think there are available kinase inhibitors with activity. We've seen single-agent data for seritinib. We've seen single-agent data for cabozantinib. And there's a lot of suggestive data for patients with ROS1, but nothing that looks as good as a platinum doublet to me.